the best Blazers site on the web. It's BlazersEdge.com, and the man behind that is Dave Deckard. We go to the phones right now. Dave, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us once again.
Absolutely a pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic. You know, just trying to make sense of what's going on in Blazerland. When assessing the Blazers' free agent moves, you summed it up by saying if the Bucks or Sixers made the moves Portland made this summer, we probably wouldn't even notice. You know, I would love your summary on the Blazers' move thus far.
Well, you got to remember what the party line was last summer. If you'll recall, Neil O'Shea said, look, we could make some moves to make this team better now, but we don't really want to do that or take on bad contracts or marginal players. Instead, what we'd like to do is save our cap space for next year so we can make bigger and better moves. Well, next year is here. They made a pretty good move in the draft in getting C.J. McCollum, but when it came to free agency, I'm not sure this is either bigger or better. They spent their cap space on three or four players that are probably pretty marginal. They're not bad players, but none of them move the needle, so to speak. You're depending on a center who's been a career backup until last year, who's never played more than 26 minutes a game, who last year was the first year he played all 82 games, and whose primary role is a shot blocker and not much else, and you're going to probably plug him into a starting center role. And then you have a power forward who's completely untested on his third team in 1 year. And you have Darrell Wright, who is a fairly good backup. He was probably a pretty smart signing. And Earl Watson, who's your third string point guard. And that those were the big moves. That was it there. So one is wondering a little bit, I suppose, what's going on.
You know, I would have liked to have seen an imbalanced trade to bring in a bigger name. But with the given cap space, what would have been your preference, Dave, for how the money was spent?
Well, I think the first thing you have to ask is, did you need to be in this situation in the first place? If this was really the best swings you were going to be able to take, why in the world did you preserve that cap space? Why weren't you more aggressive last season? Why weren't you more aggressive during the season? Why did all your cap space come up and then you didn't have a real solid plan in order to use it to bring in a bigger name, especially when you think you're trying to protect your star player in LaMarcus Aldridge, who is in his prime, who is getting older, whose contract is up in 2 years, and you got to put players around him and you kind of haven't. Instead, you've got young and cheap, which is more a sign of rebuilding than it is of helping out your superstar. So I suppose what I would have, if I'd had my brothers, I would have seen rather see him make a trade for perhaps a cheaper, more veteran center and more proven name, you know, in the backcourt. Perhaps, you know, we saw Jarrett Jack wasn't too expensive. J.J. Redick was probably out of reach. Kevin Martin, you know, was available. O.J. Mayo was available. Now, none of those names are perfect, but if you get a veteran center, you probably still could have picked up Robin Lopez, perhaps, depending on who you traded away. You would have had a two-headed center there and a more proven name in the backcourt. All of them would have been more veteran, and they would have been proven help right now. That's not a perfect solution, but at least it gives you a better chance of building around what you got instead of rebuilding into something new.
We're talking with Dave Deckard of BlazersEdge.com here on Flight 750. This is what I don't understand when trying to understand where Paul Allen's at and where Neil Olshay's at. You know, are the Blazers looking to build around LaMarcus? Are they trying to make the playoffs? Or are they looking to the summer of 2015 when they could potentially have a number of contracts coming off the books? If they make the playoffs this year, Dave, they're going to miss out on a very deep draft. I guess my question is, what is the long-term plan?
I'm not sure that it didn't just reset. I've got to believe that last year they weren't lying when they said we want to make a big splash this summer. I imagine that they tried, and it looks like they either struck out or just managed a few singles instead of extra base hits. So given that, I imagine that their view has got to move to 2 years from now when all these contracts expire, and you've got to try to take another swing. The questions then are two. Is your next swing going to be any better than this one is? If you couldn't get it done now, what makes you think you can get it done then? And second, what are you going to do with LaMarcus Aldridge in the meantime? Because his contract comes up. You cannot lose him for nothing. I think the Blazers have probably already answered the question, and they said, look, we're going young, we're going cheap, we're going to rebuild, and if it costs us LaMarcus Aldridge, that's the way it's going to be. And now their focus has to move to getting good value for him in a trade before he just walks away.
Well, here's another concern I have. You know, the Blazers have had nothing but instability in the front office for a long time now with KP and then Rich Cho and now Neil Olshey. If the Blazers are looking to rebuild and they don't reach certain expectations this year, like make the playoffs, is Paul Allen going to be patient enough to allow things to take place so they can continue this rebuilding process?
Well, I mean, what choice does he have? No matter who you bring in here as a general manager, that's not going to change the roster now. It was completely depleted. I'm not sure it's much more than depleted right now. Like I said, I think CJ McCollum is the only guy who has a chance of really blossoming into something much more. Maybe Robin Lopez does that, but you just saw his trade value. They salary dumped him. Portland got him for a second-round pick. That's his value on the open market right now. So you got a guy who's right now worth 1 second round pick, and you're hoping he blossoms into more. That's a pretty good hope. But, you know, that's a pretty big hope, I should say. And how are you going to develop this into a roster that has enough assets that any general manager could do anything with it?
It's Dave Deckard of BlazersEdge.com with us here on the program. What do you expect Portland to do with their exception of 2.3?
You know, at this point, I am not entirely sure that it matters. They used all their regular cap space filling up bench roles. You're not going to get a starter for $2.3 million, so is there another bench spot that you can fill up? I mean, you've already got, if Alan Crabb works out, you've got a reserve point guard, and of course, you've still got Will Barton there, and you've got reserve off guard. You've got a reserve point guard already, small forward, power forward. Center would be the only position I could think of where you could still use another player. But what do you get for $2.3 million? It's not going to be much. So I don't know. If I were them, I guess if they see a player they like, they use it, but it's not going to hurt if they just save it.
So, Dave, what do you expect now? LaMarcus will play out this year, and then they'll look to move him next season?
No, I think they have to start being proactive in looking to move him anywhere between now and next summer. So you could see it in the next few months. You could see it at the trade deadline. You could see it next summer. Obviously, for the Blazers, there are returns that are going to come next summer that are more attractive than what you could get in right now. But the longer you wait, the more control he has over where he goes, because he can simply say, I'm not going to re-sign after next year with your team, and that would eliminate that team from, you know, trading contention. So I think the return is going to improve as far as quality if they wait, but they have to start moving it now if they want more control over where he actually goes.
If they move LA now, what type of package would you look for in return? Would you look to get like a quality veteran player and some younger assets or draft picks, or what would you look for now if they try to move LA immediately?
Well, I can only think of one place necessarily that they could reasonably get an equal return, and that might be if Minnesota is that dissatisfied with Kevin Love that they would trade him. I'm not sure how either team would feel about that, but he's the one guy who's sticking out there that would work on a one-to-one basis. And then other than that, you just look for draft picks and young players, kind of duplicate what you've already tried to do in free agency, just a level higher because you're trading away a superstar.
What about a possible move for Omar Asik? I'm getting a lot of questions about that on Twitter in terms of, you know, he's probably still available, even though Daryl Morey says they're not going to trade him. You know, what about a deal for Asik now that you've got some other movable assets, you know, like Robin Lopez and so forth?
Again, you just saw what Robin Lopez was worth. I mean, he got traded for a second-round pick, so is Houston really going to want him for Asik? I am not sure about that. You probably have to add more to that deal, and then you have to ask whether the salaries match. It's going to be difficult, I think, for the Blazers to put together a deal that price Asik away from them. I think other teams will make a more attractive offer. I think if the Blazers can do that, they really should. They need another center, but I don't see how that gets done.
Dave Deckard, BlazersEdge.com with us here on the program. What is your best case scenario for the Blazers this coming season?
Well, I think you creep into the very bottom of the playoffs if things go well, probably get eliminated in the first round. I suppose someone call that a success. It is compared to their recent record, but you know, I'm not sure that that's what everybody was envisioning when they were thinking a big move or a franchise change coming this summer. I think it's also quite possible at this point that the Blazers miss the playoffs again, and they will almost definitely miss the playoffs if they end up trading Aldridge before the end of next season.
All right, 503. Oh, excuse me. Dave Deckard from BlazersEdge.com. Dave, I appreciate the time. Always nice to catch up with you. And maybe what's one thing before you go, what's maybe one or two things that Blazer fans should keep an eye on with Summer League right around the corner?
Well, what you want to look for in Summer League always is guards, because it's a guards league. Big men won't show very well no matter who they are. So you underline C.J. McCollum, Alan Crabb, if he's there, and you absolutely want them to score. You want them to demonstrate competence with the ball in their hands. You don't expect to see a lot of teamwork in Summer League or a lot of polish, but you want to see talent stand out. So those are the two names to look for. Everybody else, I suppose, you know, you can see different things in them. If Tavis Robinson shows up, you want him to rebound, you know, but basically it's a guards league, so look for the scorers to score. If they can't score there, if C.J. McCollum looks awful in Summer League, that's a problem for the Blazers, but I imagine he'll look pretty good.
All right, good stuff. Dave Deckard, BlazersEdge.com. Dave, we'll catch up soon. Thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
There you go. Dave Deckard, ladies and gentlemen.